Let's all stand. Our scripture reading is just one verse. It's Obadiah 14. Neither shouldest thou, the Edomites, have stood in the crossway to cut off those of his, that's the Israelites that did escape. Neither shouldest thou have delivered up of his, the Israelites that did remain in the day of distress. You may be seated. This is Christianity's Crossroads Part 2. This is the only reference to a crossroads that I could find that is located in the Bible. It's a crossway. It tells of the evil that the Edomites did when they cut off the Israelites that escaped the destruction they were facing in their captivity. Edomites stood in the crossroads and killed the escapees. The father of rock and roll and the king of the Delta Blues, Robert Johnson, met the devil, who had taken the form of a huge black man at a crossroad. The devil took Johnson's guitar, tuned it, and proceeded to play before handing the guitar back to Johnson. From that point on, Robert Johnson had mastery of the blues and the guitar. He was able to play incredible new songs instantly, without taking the time to write the lyrics or compose any music. A memorial to Johnson reads, Robert Johnson stands at the crossroads of American music. Much as the popular legend has it, he once stood at a Mississippi crossroads and sold his soul to the devil in exchange for guitar playing prowess. So Clarksdale's right on the Mississippi. What was that New Orleans? Bunch of slaves who did what? What religion did they have? Voodoo. This is where the music began, the voodoo and the blues. Where was Elvis from? Where was Elvis born? Does anybody know? Mississippi. He moved to Memphis when he was young. He was born right here. He moved to Memphis. Well, we'll get into that. Of the young bluesman desperately longed for fame and fortune. Johnson was not satisfied with his own musical abilities and felt that he needed more talent to achieve success. He was already bitter towards his creator, blaming God for the death of his beloved wife and unborn son. She died in childbirth. Despondent and irrational, he made a monumentous decision. Now, there's something important in this next paragraph. At the stroke of midnight, he walked down to the wind-swept crossroads at the junction of Highway 61 and 49 in Clarksdale, Mississippi, reciting an ancient incantation. And reciting an ancient incantation, he called upon Satan himself to come and help him out. In exchange for Johnson's immortal soul, the devil tuned his guitar, thereby giving him the abilities which he so desired. From then on, the young bluesman played his instrument with an unearthly style, his fingers dancing over the strings. His voice moaned and wailed, expressing the deepest sorrows of a condemned singer. Anybody know Eric Clapton? Eric Clapton says that Robert Johnson was the greatest guitar player of all time, his mentor. Well, here's a picture of the crossroads. This is the crossroads, a location where the legend says blue musician Robert Johnson sold his soul to the devil for the ability to play a mean guitar. The crossroads has continued to gain popularity in music. Anybody hear the song Highway 61? Crossroads, Crossroad Blues, Highway 49, and so forth. And in the movies, Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? crossroads, and so forth. In the movie, Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? It was made in the year 2000. A character named Tommy Johnson, played by Chris Thomas King, describes selling his soul to the devil to play guitar. In the film, Tommy Johnson plays a number of songs originally recorded by blues musician Skip James and accompanies the Soggy Bottom Boys, a band consisting of the film's three main characters plus Johnson, and they sang the song Man of Constant Sorrow. We got a little clip here.
How you doing, son? Name's Everett. Pete and Delmer. Keep your fingers wet in Pete's mouth. He ain't had nothing to eat for 13 years except prison food, gopher, and a little greasy horse.
Thanks for the list, sir. My name's Tommy. Tommy Johnson.
How you doing, Tommy? Say, I haven't seen a house out here for miles. What are you doing out in the middle of nowhere?
Well, I had to get that there crossroads last midnight. Sell my soul to the devil.
Well, ain't it a small world, spiritually speaking? Pete and Delmer have just been baptized and saved. I guess I'm the only one that remains unaffiliated.
This ain't no laughing matter, Everett.
What'd the devil give you for your soul, Tommy?
Well, he told me to play this here guitar real good.
Oh, son. For that, you traded your everlasting soul?
Well, I wouldn't use it. I've always wondered, what's the devil look like?
Well, of course, there are all manner of lesser imps and demons, Pete, but the great Satan himself is red and scaly with a bifurcated tail, and he carries a hay for him.
Oh, no. No, sir. He's white. As white as you folks. With empty eyes and a big hollow voice. He loves traveling around with a mean old hound.
He told you to go to Tisha Mango?
Well, no, sir. Well, that was my idea. I heard there's a man down there. He pays folks money singing to his camera. They say he pays an extra if you play real good.
Well, that wasn't very good, was it? Well, has anyone else sold their souls to the devil? Did you notice that Clarksdale, Mississippi, if you remember the map, Clarksdale, Mississippi is located north of New Orleans, and it's a little bit south of Memphis, Tennessee. Voodoo oozes from New Orleans for a reason. The blues were here before Hernando de Soto discovered the Mississippi. And the blues were played from New Orleans to the entire area around it. When the racial reconciliation movement began, it began with sports, music, and the schools. There are many in the music industry that have admitted they have made a pact with the devil for fame and money. Now, you're going to see people on an interview. The first one is Bob Dylan. He admitted with a straight face on 60 Minutes that he made a pact with somebody.
What was your bargain?
To get where I am now.
Should I ask who you made the bargain with?
with the chief commander.
On this earth?
And this earth and then a world we can't see.
Well, that was Bob Dylan.
In other words.
He said he made a bargain with the commander-in-chief. Obviously, he's talking about the devil, in order to achieve his success. So has Katy Perry. Last year's Super Bowl halftime entertainer admitted she sold her soul to the devil at least two times on televised interviews.
Didn't you release a CD like almost 10 years ago? I released a gospel record when I was 15 because I grew up in a household where all I ever did was listen to gospel music, and my parents are both traveling ministers, and so I kind of sang about what was going on in my life at 15, and that's how I got introduced to the music industry. I swear I wanted to be like the Amy Grant of music.
Yeah.
But it didn't work out, and so I sold my soul to the devil.
So she sold her soul. She told you two times in two different interviews. She sold her soul to the devil. Katy Perry, daughter of evangelistic parents, was recording Christian music until she realized that she was not able to make a large amount of money and fame in that. Then she records a lesbian song about making out with other girls. Her mom is now writing articles offering up advice on how to, quote, save your prodigal, unquote. Katy married Russell Brand in a Hindu wedding in India, but was divorced after only 1 year of marriage. She carries a similar message as Madonna does. Now, we're going to play one by Madonna. This is incredible what she sings. This was 1980 when she was singing this song, and she asked her audience to sing along with her.
Madonna also uses repetition and peer pressure to persuade and influence her audiences. And just what is Madonna teaching her massive fan base? What is she teaching possibly your children or you? Madonna brings her siren into a culmination by leading her fan base into a chant of going to hell.
Many, many others in the entertainment field, like Miley Cyrus, whose real name is Destiny Hope, Ashton Kutcher, Kristen Stewart, Robert Pattinson, a whole bunch. You can look at all the names that are on here. You probably, there's Hilary Duff, Nicolas Cage, Tyler Perry, Kanye West, Jay-Z, Beth Midler, Beyonce, Lady Gaga, Britney Spears, Rihanna, Madonna, Black Sabbath, Led Zeppelin, Eminem, Jimmy Buffett, Jerry Lee Lewis, Bon Jovi, Brad Pitt, Bruce Springsteen, Carrie Underwood, Christina Aguilera, David Bowie, who just died, Dolly Parton, Elton John, Johnny Cash, John Lennon, the Jonas Brothers, Justin Timberlake, Kiss, Metallica, Motley Crue, Red Hot Chili Peppers, there's a repeat, Roseanne Barr, Selena Gomez, Snoop Dogg, The Eagles, The Rolling Stones, Van Halen, Elvis Presley, so forth. They have said that they have made a deal with the devil or have shown demon possession. They sold their souls for fame and money. There's a whole bunch more. That's just a small list. Elvis Presley was one of the first who made the switch from the voodoo influence of the blacks to acceptable rock and roll. But look at his life and see where it all got him.
Satanist Aleister Crowley boasted that he and Blavatsky were one. Blavatsky stated in The Secret Doctrine that, quote, Satan is the angel who was proud enough to believe himself God, brave enough to buy his independence at the price of eternal suffering and torture. She declared Satan, the serpent of Genesis, is the real creator and benefactor, the father of spiritual mankind. And he who was the first to whisper, in the day you eat thereof, you shall be as Elohim, knowing good and evil, can only be regarded in the light of a savior. Blavatsky clearly taught that Satan and Lucifer, the tempter, the mind, is, quote, our redeemer, our intelligent liberator and savior. Satan and the evil spirits were using Elvis Presley like a puppet, used him to spread the New Age lie. Elvis claimed that his mission was to use his name and influence to initiate people into the spiritual world of which he was being used. He claimed that this voice was using him as a channel to reach millions of people through the universal language of music. Dave Hebler, who was Elvis' personal karate instructor and also called a disciple of the Memphis Mafia, witnessed firsthand Elvis destroy himself and those around him.
You know, what he was doing, not only to himself, but to people around him.
Dave Hebner declared, "I have seen him manipulating crowds like he was Hitler. It was weird." Elvis almost always had on hand a copy of Blavatsky's Voice of Silence, with which he would indoctrinate his fans by reading from Blavatsky's book on stage, as Larry Geller held it like a script prompter. One of his disciples declared, "But Elvis often gets up in his acts during his performances and reads these things to the audience," says Sonny. One night at the Riviera Hotel in Las Vegas, he produced Blavatsky's Voice and insisted that Don Rickles read passages from it. Saying this, it boils down to the lie that we can do our own thing and that we are our own gods and that we can save ourselves. Jesus Christ warned, "For whoever wishes to save his life shall lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake, he is the one who will save it." Blavatsky, Crowley, and Anton LaVey.
You get an idea of the songs. He's saving himself. Here's the birthplace of Elvis Presley. It's in Tupelo, Mississippi. You know how much it cost his father to make this house? $180. He was born January 8, 1935. From this humble beginning, Elvis Presley began his swift rise to become the world's most popular entertainer. The house built by his father draws over 50,000 visitors each year from across the world and is part of the 15-acre Elvis Presley Park. The home is a Mississippi landmark and the centerpiece of the park, which includes, among other exhibits, the popular photo op Elvis the 13th statue in Elvis's childhood church. Now I'm going to talk about the Roman Catholic Church. The Roman Catholic Church used to be very strict and intolerant in what they believed. And if anyone differed with them, they were in danger of being killed by them. Now, I told you about my grandmother. If she was going to marry a Roman Catholic, she could do so, but her children had to be part of the church. That's no longer true. The Waldenses in the 1100s and 1200s is an example. They openly stated that they hated the Roman Mass and their Pope. As a result, they were mercilessly tortured and murdered by the Roman Catholic Army. I have a book on that if you want to read the martyrs of how they killed men, women, and children. They took the babies and bashed them, threw them over the cliff. The women, it was so brutal what they did to the women, I can't even tell you in a mixed audience. But now, ever since the Protestant Revolution, the Roman Catholics have changed their strategy. They're no longer killing people, at least a big number. They are organizing a campaign to unify all the religions of the world into one religion, which is based on universalism. The Jesuit Pope Francis, said that, quote, "We can bring about an unprecedented age of peace. All we need to achieve such a state is respect each other's beliefs, for we are all children of God, regardless of the name we choose to address him by. We can accomplish miraculous things in the world by merging our faiths. And the time for such a movement is now. No longer shall we slaughter our neighbors over differences in reference to their God," unquote. That's the Pope's words. In addition, the Roman Catholic Church is coordinating a plan to have the world church agree with all churches and religions that teach universalism or racial reconciliation. The Pope has continued his campaign to unite the religions of the world. He said in the video released in January 2016 for the Feast of Epiphany, that's the last month, he said this, quote, "Most of the planet's inhabitants declare themselves believers. This should lead to dialogue among religions. We should not stop praying for it and collaborating with those who think differently." Remember the cloister of nuns last week, what they were praying for. He then went on to say, "Many think differently, feel differently, seeking God or meeting God in different ways. In this crowd, in this range of religions, there's only one certainty that we have for all. We are all children of God. Unquote. The video also features a female who expresses her confidence in Buddha, a Jewish rabbi who expresses his belief in God, little g, a priest who believes in the false Jesus Christ, and a Muslim who declares his faith in Allah. The Pope believes that no matter what a person calls God, that is, the Judeo-Christian Jesus, Buddha, Allah, Baal, Hindu, whatever, they all describe the same person across the world. In other words, equal gods. Get ready to see more interfaith movements in the world. The one entity they cannot tolerate is Christian identity. Christian identity is exclusive. The Roman Catholic world religions are inclusive. Now I'm going to talk to you about Cincinnati Crossroads Church. In the January 16, 2016 Cincinnati Inquirer's front page, there was a story of the historic church's revival. Late that summer, Old St. George Church will once again hold worship services in the vaulted ceiling sanctuary for the first time in over two decades. This is what it said in the front page of the Inquirer. The 143-year-old former Catholic church closed in 1993 due to declining attendance is undergoing a $14 million renovation. $14 million for that one church. By the rapidly expanding Crossroad Church based in Oakley. So they're spending $14 million on this one church. Crossroad plans to return the church to a community worship center that will serve area residents and students at the University of Cincinnati. When it reopens, Old St. George will be called Crossroads Uptown, one of five campuses for Crossroads, recently listed as one of the fastest growing churches in the country by Outreach Magazine. I think they had it 15th or 16th in the nation, something like that. It will include updates, will bring it in line with the modern worship building, said Lena Tomey, pastor of this church, Crossroads Uptown. There's a picture of her, Lena Tomey. Lena Tomey is the daughter of the head pastor of Crossroads Church, Brian Tomey. She graduated from UC and worked at Cincinnati's Procter and Gamble, where most of the original members worked. She, like almost all the ministers of the church, except for her father, have no studies in the Bible or church history. They are lay people who accepted the role of pastor or teacher. A female is disqualified from this position in the Bible, but it doesn't matter to Crossroads Church. Here's a picture of the church before the fire. And here's a picture of them renovating the church in Coryville, where Crossroads were used for the UC campus location. Look at the inside of that place. It's massive. $14 million reconstruction. The classic Romanesque revival architecture of the building. It was designed by the same person who designed Music Hall. And Cincinnati City Hall would be preserved, Tomey said. A parisher who had not seen the inside of the church since it closed in 1993 could walk in and still recognize it as Old St. George, she says. The renovations inside the sanctuary stop at 19 feet above the floor, protecting the hallmark arch ceiling and stained glass windows that are distinctly part of Old St. George. The walls and ceiling above this point will be stabilized, but will not be otherwise altered, she says Sue Langreby, director of building and facilities at Crossroads. Once it reopens, the church will serve 2,000 members of the current Crossroads Uptown campus, now located at Bogart's, an entertainment facility in Coryville. Tomey said she also expects the church to attract a lot of interest from students at UC. 98% of whom did not regularly attend a church on campus. The reuse of the building has been a long-standing goal for the community and a solution that came not a moment too soon. Matt Bertices, director of the Clifton Heights Community Urban Redevelopment Corporation, which bought the church in 2005 in an attempt to save it, says each day that passed without a plan for the building was another day closer to the wrecking ball. There is only so long that you can keep an old building like that standing and keep it viable, he says. The Crossroads project is an ideal outcome for a historic building that had been abandoned, neglected, and nearly destroyed by fire in 2008 when the church's steeples burned, he says. You remember when the church caught on fire? Here's a picture of it. Both the steeples are on fire. The one steeple did fall. When we originally bought the property, we never thought it'd be a church again, Bergeny said. Urban congregations are declining. That's part of what makes this project so special, he adds. Everything that makes it a cool building makes it difficult to use as anything except a church, he says. This is probably the biggest success story we've had in the community's revitalization. Crossroads' operational model for the church will keep it open 7 days a week, offering free Wi-Fi, co-working space, lecture venues, and free coffee, supporting area businesses. The project didn't step on anyone's toes, he says, which might have happened had it been converted to a new retail or office space. It draws people to the area and can be an additional reason for young people to settle in the community. I get all the time saying, great work. That doesn't happen very often. He says the community has breathed a collective sigh of relief that the historic church has been saved. Toby says, for its part, Crossroads is thankful to move into a venerated building that was designed specifically with the spiritual purposes in mind. This is one of our only churches that is not just a big box, she says. We are benefiting from standing on the shoulders of thousands of worshipers here before us. That's a good feeling. She's standing on the shoulders of thousands of Roman Catholics. Brian Wells is working as a brand manager at Procter & Gamble in 1990 when he and a group of friends met for a Bible study at the Hyde Park home of fellow P&G marketer Jim Bechtold. After a year, the study group had grown to 100 people and had to move to the Hyde Park Center for older adults. Bechtold, carpooling to work one day with Wells along Columbia Parkway, suggested that they should start a church. So the church they helped found is called Crossroads. Mark last week asked the question, why did they name their church Crossroads? The gospel is the straight and narrow path. It doesn't even become a crossroads. At a crossroads, you have to determine which way to go. Its pathway is not predetermined. I didn't know why they named it Crossroads either, but it seems that it has to do with the music they play at church. They don't use hymns or church music. They use music that was conceived at the crossroads at Mississippi, the music of racial reconciliation. The Bible study that began Crossroads Church first met in the home of the Bechtoids, a miscegenation couple. Jim's wife, Vivine, grew up in St. Louis, Missouri, and after graduating from high school, went to Massachusetts Institute of Technology, MIT. After graduating, she became to Procter & Gamble. She married Jim Bechtold as they both worked at P&G. After transferring into brand management, Vivine Bechtold helped turn Pantene Shampoo into a billion-dollar business. Now, Pantene Shampoo will have a 30-second Super Bowl commercial, last Super Bowl and this Super Bowl. She led the development of P&G's Marketing University, which provided training for more than 5,000 marketing employees worldwide. She was the head of that. Bechtold was one of the P&G employees who in 1995 co-founded Crossroads Church. which is based in Oakley, but has expanded now to 7 locations in Greater Cincinnati. It is one of the largest churches in the nation with more than 25 followers and has raised more than $100 million for ministry work. She and her husband, Jim, mortgaged their house to help finance the loan to buy the church's old headquarters building. The founding group of friends originally met for Bible study at the Hyde Park home of Bechtold and her husband, a fellow P&G marketer. It was Jim Bechtold who first suggested to the group they start a church. Remember, it was a cloister of nuns who prayed worldwide for the success of this fledging church. The couple and the 3 children now live in Sims Township. And here's a picture of Vivian Lee Bechtold. She was a global brand manager for P&G, Procter & Gamble Company. She also joined, number one, the board of directors of Deaconess Hospital Association. And she and 2 others from Crossroads Church serve as a part of the advisory group of Cincinnati's Underground Railroad. And 3, she and 2 other members of Crossroads Church serve as trustees at Cincinnati Hills Christian Academy. Now, Cincinnati's Underground Railroad Museum, what a fiasco that is. This is the place that those in favor of racial reconciliation gather each Michael King Day and march to Fountain Square. The co-founder of Crossroads Church serves as part of an advisory group for this communist organization. CHCA, you think this is a true Christian school? Its main contributor is one of the Linder sons, a Freemason who was, as a youth, was a worshiper of the Eastern religions. He is now a member of one of the new big churches. May God have mercy on my soul. I taught 3 years there. Pastor Jerry Wickey preached about this situation over 20 years ago. He said that he had read that the new mega churches were based on marketing skills of the secular world. You know, he was absolutely correct. Before I get too carried away, let me go back and tell you more about his wife. Jim is a Caucasian who's married to a Chinese Filipino mongrel. Her grandfather left China during the Communist Revolution and went to Brazil. From there, he immigrated to the United States. Her grandmother was a Filipino who came to the United States in the early 1900s. Vivian has lived around the world, including 3 years in Japan. Vivian is a people person who can literally work with anyone. She can also speak to just about anyone having studied 5 languages. Vivian's interest in the nonprofit sector led her to use her business and brand building skills to start one of the world's fastest growing churches with nearly 20,000 attendees a week and over $100 million raised. Nothing about her Bible knowledge at all. She has the good skills to build a brand. Vivian led the development of P&G's Marketing University, providing all corporate training for 5,000-plus marketing employees worldwide. While living in Asia, she received the President's Award for the best turnaround of a function. Vivian led the United States diversity efforts for Asians in marketing and consumer research, resulting in breakthrough retention and advancement numbers, and she was a key leader on P&G's Global Women's Leadership Team, resulting in greater empowerment, satisfaction, and business growth among women. Do you think that a race-mixed couple would not be in favor of racial reconciliation and miscegenation? What do you think their church believes? Was a Chinaman the seed of Jacob? Was a Filipino the seed of Jacob? When the church was asked about the Supreme Court decision on same-sex marriages, the church failed to give any answer. One of the main doctrines of the Freemasons is the equality of all races. This is the main doctrine of almost every church in America now. But it used to not be. Do you think you're equal with the native in the jungles of New Guinea? Crossroads head pastor. His name is Brian Tomey, an ordained Presbyterian pastor from Pittsburgh. Ordained Presbyterian pastor. The Presbyterians used to be Calvinistic. They taught election. Most of them don't teach it now. I bet he doesn't teach it either when he was a Presbyterian. He came to Cincinnati after answering a magazine ad placed by a group of friends who wanted to start a church for people who don't like going to church. That's their whole view. They built this church for people who don't like to go to church. The church's subsequent growth is no fluke. Here's a quote from one of their advisors. Brian is the single best leader I have ever worked with in terms of his ability to motivate and influence and his courage. As they built the church, Tomey and his board applied, what did they apply? Modern business strategies to meet a fundamental need for many people. Despite, or perhaps because of dropping attendance figures for many organized religions, Tomey was convinced a huge market existed, so that main churches were losing people. Well, they were teaching the wrong message, but it doesn't make any difference. How many true people were there in the days of Elijah? There's a God-shaped vacuum inside of every human being. People do not want fulfillment. And we will try to find it every way we can, making gobs of money, having sexual conquest, he said. But really the need is people feel an internal longing, and that longing is filled by God. Tomey won't compromise on some things. Crossroad attendees must at least be open to exploring a relationship with God. The church is based on Christian principles and draws its message from the Bible. But people of all religions are welcome. For the most part, however, Tomey and the board threw out the traditional church model and asked a lot of questions while developing the service. One question. Why, for example, should church music be any different from what people listen to in their cars? Second question. Shouldn't Crossroads weekly message be more like the presentations people pay to hear at corporate events? Third question. And have you ever noticed that at parties, people like to have a drink in their hands, even if it's just water? So why not let people drink coffee during services? You put a cup of coffee in someone's hand and so should they feel a little bit more comfortable, Tomey said. And what we like to say sometimes is we give people a comfortable environment to hear an uncomfortable message, unquote. So they used the music that was started at the Crossroads in Mississippi. It was picked up by Elvis Presley and a whole host of others. It had and has the voodoo beat that changed the United States and the world to embrace the New World Order. So this is the music the Crossroad Church plays. What a perfect name. And their weekly message is like the messages that are taught in corporate events. Crossroads' greatest asset, perhaps, is the ability to attract creative people and leaders. There's a picture. I'll explain who this guy is in a second. It has a profound impact on Crossroads and is spilling out into the city and the world. His name is Carl Satterwhite, the chairman of the United Appeal, who has had years of experience at P&G as an owner of a commercial furniture installment company. Carl is a member of the board of trustees for numerous professional organizations, including, did you know, he was a part owner of the Cincinnati Reds? Carl is a black man, and he goes to Crossroads Church. People said, well, it doesn't look like a church. Guess what? Things that look like a church, people don't go too. Toomey said, we all want to understand and give the consumer what they want. If you really want to be successful, you have to give them what they don't know that they want. My conclusion. So now we have legalized rock and roll music. We have legalized gay marriage. We have legalized child sacrifice or abortion. We've legalized porn. We've legalized adultery-based business models. And all the rest of our now flagrant, obviously, and catastrophically anti-Christ approach to law and civil government. In the middle of all this, we dare wonder why our culture is imploding. Really? This is why we've come to a place in America where Bruce Jenner transitioning into a Republican Christian woman is a culture-moving event worthy of praise and corporate coronation as a supreme example of courage for the world to follow. This is why we've come to a place where we're doing this hard work, sacrificial work of Planned Parenthood is to be grotesque, satanic, baby, mass-murdering enterprise are themselves indicted, while Planned Parenthood goes right on legally operating as they have for decades, now openly murdering babies by the bajillions in unhidden facilities all across the fruited plain. As long as we have aborticide, we're going to have illegal immigration. This is why we've come to a place where we cannot even define, much less defend, even the most elementary of concepts, such as gender. And all these surreal examples of our ongoing self-disintegration as a people flow from exaltation of religious pluralism as a virtue rather than the abomination that God has plainly labeled it to be. We still actually believe that the freedom to openly worship false gods is good and even God-given thing. How satanically proud and stupid can a people become? Well, here's Pope Benedict in Rome. The former pope says in his new book, due out next week, that the Jews are not to blame for the crucifixion of Jesus, underlining a key breakthrough in Catholic-Jewish relations. The Jews are not to be blamed for the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. The Jews are innocent of the blood of Jesus Christ. Many Christians and non-Christians, including many Catholics, blame the Jews for Jesus' death for hundreds of years, a doctrine which many Jews believe directly fueled anti-Semitism. Well, it fueled anti-Jewishism, and it should. The Catholic Church formally repudiated the assertion that the Jewish people had committed decicide, or the murder of God, in the 1960s. Jewish organizations, including the World Jewish Congress and the Anti-Defamation League, praised Benedict's new comments on the death of Jesus. Here's a quote. Pope Benedict has rejected the previous teachings and perversions that have helped to foster and reinforce anti-Semitism through the centuries. That was by ADL's National Director Abraham Foxman. A rabbi said, critically important and timely statement by His Holiness, particularly at a time of increased mainstream anti-Semitism worldwide, calling it a very important tool in the fight against Jew hatred. What we need is a declaration of complete dependence and reliance upon Jesus Christ, the reigning King of all creation, including the realms of law and civil government. Churches and missionaries do not realize that the end-time evangelism is not to call unbelievers out from paganism, but to call sincere, unregenerate believers out of denominational and independent assemblies into Christ the Word. Did you get what I just said there? Churches and missionaries do not realize that the end-time evangelism is not to call unbelievers out from paganism, but to call sincere, unregenerate believers out from denominational and independent assemblies into Christ the Word, Revelation 18:4. Misguided ministers are unknowingly grooming unbelievers to receive their mark of the beast now before it is forced. What good is a church that uses music? There's a spell placed on the original recording before it is sent to buyers. Beware and come out of her, my people. A vow to the God of Israel. Here we stand before our holy God, who loved our fathers Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and made an unconditional covenant with them, and elected, married, and became the king of the holy seed of Jacob Israel. We, the children of Jacob Israel, are making this vow to our kinsman redeemer, that he will protect us and completely destroy our enemy, Mystery Babylon, just like he did when he answered the summer pleas of Kings Asa, Jehoshaphat, Hezekiah, and Josiah in the Old Testament. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on thee. And in thy name we move against this vicious enemy that teaches the evil doctrines of multiculturalism and or racial reconciliation and universalism. We have no might against this great beast that comes against us. Neither know we what to do. But our eyes are upon thee. Save us before we are completely destroyed. Psalm 91. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel.